Hello and welcome to our November Exceptional Speaker Bonus Call powered by Exceptional Connections. I'm Cindy O'Neill Dady, the founder and chief connector at Exceptional Connections Networking, as well as our quarterly educational series for Networking Mastery Skill Shop. Our Exceptional Speaker Bonus Calls highlight our monthly spotlight speakers who graciously agree to share their brilliance with our ECN community and beyond. So I am super honored to be highlighting Elise Enriquez. Elise was the 20-minute spotlight speaker at our recent November 13th luncheon, and we are excited to have her share her inspiring talk, Overcoming Overwhelm, How to Embrace Productivity and Grow Profits. This is a really timely topic coming. We're going into the holidays and a new year, so super excited about having her. So to set the expectation for this call, Elise has generously agreed to share with us for the next 20 minutes or so, and we are then going to open the call up for Q&A. So be sure to write down your questions and have them ready for Elise after her talk. And be sure to stay on the line until the very end. We're going to plan to end by 1 p.m. Pacific time, and we will also be sharing with our listeners ways to connect with Elise, as well as exciting opportunities being offered to our ECN community. And we have a bit of a pivot in regards to our upcoming January Skill Shop, so you won't want to miss the update. So without further ado, I just want to introduce Elise. She is a productivity coach and consultant who specializes in working with self-aware, entrepreneurial-minded people, it's a mouthful, to overcome the overwhelm of life and business. She works with her people to create personalized systems and strategies to move forward what matters most. We all have our own definition of success, and we need to find our own way of achieving it. And Elise helps us to do that. So it is my pleasure to turn the call over to the just plain awesome and always inspiring Elise Enriquez.
Aw, thanks so much, Cindy. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so happy to have some people on the call right now, and then hello to everybody who's listening later. So shall I just jump in?
Go for it. I'm going to mute myself, and so just let us know when you're winding down, and I'll unmute everybody so they can ask questions. How's that?
Sounds perfect. Thanks, Cindy.
Okay. You're welcome.
Yes, as Cindy said, I definitely would love for you guys to be writing down questions as we go, since it's kind of hard to have you interrupt with questions in this format. So I would please write down any questions that you have. That's kind of my favorite thing to actually do, is just once I share an idea, to just like, okay, now just ask me all the questions you could possibly come up with. So if you're taking notes, jot down those questions. And if you're taking notes, I should probably just share with you kind of the agenda for the next 20 minutes and what we're going to cover. So we're going to look at three different things. We're going to look at the three different types of work that we could be doing. We're going to be looking at the one thing that changes everything. And we're going to be talking about the three elevations model and how to apply that one thing to those elevations model and what that will do for your business. So when it comes to the three different types of work, the way I think about it is that we could be doing intentional work, and that means the work that we've actually planned. We could be doing unintentional work. It's kind of just doing the work as it comes up. We could actually be spending time planning our work. And the planning of your work is really just saying, you know, where am I trying to go? What are the goals that I'm trying to accomplish? You know, who do I want to be in this world? And what do I need to do to make that happen? So it's being able to look at, you know, the bigger picture of where you're trying to go, and then figure out from there the steps you actually need to take, the projects you need to actually undertake to accomplish that. And that's what planning your work is all about, is taking it from the highest level down to the ground level of action. And so that usually ends up for a lot of us being these, you know, to-do lists that sometimes could be a mile long, but that's planning your work, right? And then there's doing that work of moving those things forward, and that's the intentional work. So doing the work that you actually planned, it means that you're doing intentional work. You're saying, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. These are the actions I want to take. I'm actually going to take those actions. And I keep saying take those actions because we can't do the projects. We can only do the actions. And so getting things down to, you know, the nice specific level of actions that you can complete to move projects forward that help you achieve your goals. So a lot of intention in that. And then there's that unintentional work. And that unintentional work is really where I have found a lot of entrepreneurs spend a lot of their time, and that is in being very reactive and just reacting and responding to whatever comes their way rather than necessarily deciding, you know, what they want to have happening in their lives. And it can be easy to be reactive when we're building our business because we're trying to just get something up off the ground, but it can also be easy to stay in that mode when you have clients that you're actually working with and that you're serving, right? And so you're needing to be, you know, responsive, but maybe not reactive. So again, the three different types of work, you can be planning your work, you can be doing intentional work, or you could be doing unintentional work. And at the ECN talk, at the luncheon, we talked about, you know, checking in with people to see how they're spending the majority of their time. And, you know, a lot of people were spending their time doing unintentional work. And after 10 years of coaching, almost 10 years, I'm getting ahead of myself on my work anniversary here, my business anniversary, after almost 10 years, I'll be 10 years in January, coaching business owners, that's what I have seen, is that they tend to be very reactive and not really spend enough time planning their work and then doing the work that they planned. And part of that is about just paying attention to their day and their schedule and being thoughtful about how much they're cramming in there in terms of appointments and meetings and networking, and as well as the work that actually has to get done, and being realistic about what is actually possible to get done on any given day. So when it comes to what you're hearing me say over and over is intentional and unintentional, or intentional and reactive. And really, that is the one thing that changes everything, is intention. So I told you the three things we're going to talk about today are the three types of work, the one thing that changes everything, and then the three elevations of life. So we've talked about the three types of work, and the message on that is, do some more planning. Do some more planning of your work. That's the bottom line on that one. And then if there's a next bottom line on that one, is do more of the work that you planned, right? All of that allows you to be more intentional. And being more intentional is the one thing that really can change everything for you. And I think a lot of people can think of intention as a passive thing. Like, I intend to do something isn't the same as I will do something. But really, when it gets down to the true definition of intention, is just something that's done on purpose or something that's deliberate. And so I like to, you know, buck conventional thinking on that a little bit and say, you know, intention isn't passive. It's very active. It's on purpose. It's deliberate. And so when I'm talking about applying intention to things, I'm talking about doing things on purpose. I'm talking about being more deliberate about your work and your life. And what I know, again, from working with entrepreneurs for so long, or just people in general, is that when intention is low, when we're kind of just floating along and bouncing around, responding and reacting to everything, we can tend to feel really unsatisfied, like maybe our work doesn't mean anything out there, like is this really all worth it kind of thing. We can feel really frustrated because we are really busy all the time or running around doing all sorts of things but not necessarily moving forward the things that we want to move forward. And we can tend to feel really overwhelmed. Again, being so reactive that every stimuli is something that we're responding to. Every email feels like it's urgent. Every text feels like it's urgent. Every phone call, every pop by from somebody asking for something can feel urgent. And what we know, there's a saying that I know it from Peter Walsh, and he might have got it from somebody else, but I know it from Peter Walsh. He's a professional organizer. And he talks about how when everything is important, nothing is important. And so that's what can happen with overwhelm, is we can kind of treat everything with the same level of importance and urgency, and that's not really how things are. We have things that are more important to us, but we can lose track of that, and that's when overwhelm starts to happen. So I would encourage you all to take a second and just think about where you might be right now. If things are A-okay, then I celebrate you. If you're feeling, you know, fulfilled and satisfied and you know, on point and present, that's great. But if there's any part of you that's feeling unsatisfied or frustrated or overwhelmed, I would encourage you to just jot that down right now. Like, give yourself permission to feel that and think about where that's showing up most in your life. Because we all feel that from time, feel, you know, some of those feelings from time to time. And when we can apply intention at certain levels of our life, we can shift what those feelings are. We can create different results. Because when intention is high, we tend to feel more fulfilled. We tend to feel like our work actually means something, like our presence on this planet matters, because it does. Your presence matters. We can feel more accomplished because we are moving forward to things that we need to move forward, that we want to move forward. Moving forward, like, as I like to say, moving forward what matters most. And we tend to feel relieved when we can apply intention at the ground level of projects and actions, because now we know everything that we could be doing, everything that should be getting done, and we also know what's not getting done. Because that's where relief comes from. The tension and the anxiety comes from not knowing what's not getting done. And so having a way to know everything that's not getting done can surprisingly bring a lot of relief. So I want to, before we move on to the three elevations, because we're still talking about intention, I want to talk about the main components of intention. How can you have more intention? How can you apply more intention to your life in different areas of life? So you can apply intention by being more clear about things, by gaining clarity about what matters most to you, gaining clarity about what you want in your life and what you want in your world, gaining clarity, like I said, about what's not getting done. So clarity is one major component. Communication is another major component. Being able to communicate what matters most to you, being able to communicate why you're here on this world, on this earth, and the impact you want to have. Being able to communicate boundaries, right? So clarity and communication are important components to intention. And then finally, consistency. Once you know what it is that you want, and once you've communicated it, it's a matter of figuring out, what are the actions I need to take on a regular basis? What are the things I need to do consistently to create the results that I'm looking for? And that sometimes means setting up systems, simple systems, but systems to support you in being consistent in the things that will move you forward. So clarity, communication, and consistency are major components of intention. And so if you're feeling like, I'm not sure, you know, what intention means, then the very first thing you need to do is get clear about that particular area of your life. So just to make sure we're staying on track, we've talked about the three types of work. We've talked about the one thing that changes everything, which is intention. And so now it's a matter of applying intention to the different elevations of your life. And I look at these elevations as these duos, right? There's the duo of purpose and value at the highest level, vision and goals in the middle range, and projects and actions at the ground level. Okay, so we'll talk about all three of those levels, but I'm going to break up those duos. So first, looking at purpose and values. Your purpose is what gets you out of bed every morning, and it's why the rest of the world should care that you got out of bed every morning. I take that definition directly from Simon Sinek and his work. I love his work around purpose discovery and purpose work. He calls it your why, your big why. And he talks about the golden circle. But it's a different thing to think about what gets you out of bed every morning and why should the rest of the world care that you did. Because it means that your purpose isn't just for you and your fulfillment, but it also serves the rest of the world. And I think a lot of people can get purpose and motivation mixed up. So a lot of people think that their families are their purpose. Their families are what get them out of bed every morning so they can go make money to support their family and put their kids through college and all that kind of thing. But really that's just motivation, because at some point your kids grow up and they move on and create their own lives. So then what, right? So your purpose moves beyond you. It moves beyond your family. It serves the world. It's you at your very best serving the world. So getting clarity around your purpose can lead to more fulfillment in your life. Then there's the level of, there's values. Values are, how are you going to conduct yourself on this journey? You were on the road of life. What kind of driver are you going to be? How do you want to be remembered? And so it's thinking about the things that matter most to you. And sometimes people can struggle in identifying what their values are. And what I often recommend doing is to write down all the things that make you crazy, that really tick you off. like really upset you, because those are usually values violations. And once you know what ticks you off, you can start to look at the reverse of those things and uncover what really matters most to you. And so getting clarity in the realm of your values can also derive a great level of fulfillment, but also a degree of satisfaction in the sense that once you're clear on what you believe in and what you will and will not stand for, you can better align with people. And so that's where communication comes into play, right? Being able to communicate that out to the world so that you attract the right people and maybe, you know, filter out the people that need to be filtered out, we'll just say. Okay. So, at the presentation last week, I gave you examples of actual people, actual clients that I've worked with who have applied intention at these different levels. And so I won't go into a lot of detail on the call today, but just to say that, you know, one of my clients where we really worked hard on the level of purpose and values, what that led to was her going from working 7 days a week to working 2 days a week. Right, for her having a revolving door of employees to having really dedicated, solid employees that are running her practice. And more importantly, from her feeling like really inadequate as a leader to feeling really empowered and like she's making a difference in the lives of her employees and the lives of her community. And on top of that, freedom. She's just simply got freedom and time back with her family. And that was all because we really worked hard on uncovering her purpose and her purpose statement and uncovering her values. And helping her communicate those out to her team and really the rest of the world. So now, when we look at the level of values and goals, which is the second level, vision and goals, we're looking at vision first. And your vision is just where do you want to be 3 years from now? Quite simple exercise that you can do is just say, if I were waking up 3 years from now, what would I want my day to look like? And just spend 10 minutes writing that out in great detail. Maybe you're waking up in a different house than you have right now. Maybe you have a house cleaner coming that day. Maybe you're meeting with somebody to sell your business. Like, who knows what it's going to be? Like, give yourself that opportunity to dream about what you could see happening in your life in 3 years. So that's vision. Goals are the things you need to accomplish, the milestones that you're going to achieve along the way towards creating your vision. And so being able to say in these very discrete ways, I want to do this by this date. I want to accomplish this thing by this date. And those things align with my vision, right, of where I want to go in 3 years. But they also align with who I want to be, my values, and my purpose, the impact that I want to have. And so one of the people that I talked about at the luncheon was my visionless visionary who really, for her, she's brilliant, and she has an amazing vision for the world and her industry, but really did not feel comfortable putting a stake in the ground when it came to goals, especially around her income. And she is somebody that could generate a lot of income, but didn't feel comfortable with that. But we worked really hard to create a vision for her and to identify the goals to achieve that vision. And part of that vision was building a team and building her income. And she's done all of that. So she went from $84,000 a year when she first met me to $295,000 the next year, $483,000 the year after that, and $496,000 the year after that. And so for her, it wasn't about making the money, but the money gave her the freedom that she wanted to go and teach more classes, to go and see her family out in the Midwest for their family reunion, to go visit her son in India when he was traveling. But it took her being willing to say, I want this. I want this for my vision. I want this for my goals. So we got clarity. We got clear about that. She communicated that out to the world in a number of different ways, including the process of hiring people to her team, and then setting and tracking to those goals, right, helped her achieve that. So again, applying intention at the level of vision and goals. And finally, we'll look at the level of projects and actions. So projects are just those multi-step outcomes that are needed to achieve your goal. I take that definition directly from David Allen in his book, Getting Things Done. I love that definition. It's so wonky and dorky. What are the multi-step outcomes needed to achieve your goals? But I think it's important for people to think of it that way because projects are never something that you can just accomplish all of a sudden. Like, projects actually have multiple steps to them. In fact, they have actions. And that's what the other part of that ground level is. It's projects and actions. And this I also take from David Allen. Actions are the next physical, visible thing you need to do to move something forward. And so this is a place where once people get their vision and goals figured out, we've got their purpose and their values figured out, we're digging into, okay, now what are the projects we need to accomplish your goals? What are the actions you need to take to complete those projects? And this can be the hardest work for people, is to get down to nice, specific actions. But when you do, it's amazing what can happen. Because it's at the level of projects and actions is where we're most overwhelmed. It is at the ground level of life, daily life, is where we're most overwhelmed. And so my example here is somebody that went through my GIST program recently, where she is, I called her my busy business communicator. She's an amazing business communications expert, but she had a really swirly brain. It was full of ideas and full of to-dos, and her office reflected that, and she was feeling really underproductive. And she went through my GIST program, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but it's my get your stuff together, we'll just say. I usually say something different, but it's your get your stuff together program, where I help people build a bonus brain to help them hold everything that needs to be remembered so that their brains can be free to be more present and more present with their families, their friends, their clients, to be more strategic and to be more creative. And so for her, what that yielded was a couple extra hours a week in her life for whatever she wanted, on top of having a system that was holding everything that needed to be held. So her brain didn't have to try to remember what had to be done and what to do anymore. We built a system that put in front of her the things that needed to be done every single day, but also held every idea that she could possibly have for her clients and her life and her business overall. So did all that, plus getting 2 hours back a week. And she decided to use those 2 hours for yoga and for co-working at a new space where she could get more energy from being around people. So all of that by applying intention, by being purposeful and being deliberate at the level of projects and actions and building that bonus brain for her. So what I would encourage you guys to think about is, where could you be more intentional, right? Because if you are feeling like you're unsatisfied or unfulfilled, then you probably want to apply intention at the level of purpose and values. If you're feeling frustrated, like there's this thing you're trying to accomplish and achieve and you just can't, then you probably want to apply your intention at the level of vision and goals to really get clear on what it is that you want. And if you can't even begin to think about purpose and values and vision and goals because you're just feeling so stinking overwhelmed, then you would want to apply your intention at the level of projects and actions and really basically getting your stuff together so you can know what's not getting done. So that's it. We got through all three things. We talked about the three different types of work. We talked about them, and those are, that is, you know, the planned work, doing intentional work, and doing the unintentional work. We talked about the one thing that changes everything, and that's intention. So you can apply intention by becoming more clear, by communicating your clarity, and being consistent in the actions to support that. And we talked about the three elevations model and applying intention at all three of those levels of purpose and values, vision and goals, projects and actions, and that when you do, you'll become more fulfilled, accomplished, and relieved. And more importantly, you will work less, you will earn more, and you will have more time. So that is it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Elise.
You're welcome.
You know what? I was able to be a lot more present than I was at our networking event. And your talk really came together for me in a really powerful way. So thank you for this opportunity to really hear it with, you know, kind of fresh ears. And
welcome.
Well, thank you for that. I have a couple questions.
Well, you're having to play host.
I know.
You know what I mean? You're having to be so aware of everybody else. So I'm glad we got this time, Cindy.
Yeah, no, I am too. I hope everybody else benefited, but I can tell you I did a lot. So, So I opened up the lines so everybody can be formulating their questions, but if it's okay, I'd like to ask a few just to get us started.
Please do.
So I actually had the benefit of my husband's notes too. So I've got my notes. And by the way, for especially for Gail or anybody who's on this line that wasn't at the call, on when we go to the website, I'll have her sheet put on there so you can download it. So okay. She has an outline. Elise had an outline, so I'll get that to you. So I apologize. I should have sent that off, attached it earlier, but you'll have that if you want to listen to the replay.
Right.
So you had like a little space on the first part where you talk about the three, that first segment where you talk about planning your work, intentional work, unintentional work. And
yeah.
I thought you gave a percentage. Did you give a percentage on each of those for like how many people actually do that, or are we supposed to just guess that?
So what we had you do there was like take a minute and think about what you think your percentages are for how much
are
you planning your work, unintentional work versus intentional work.
Okay.
And then when it comes down to is there a recommended percentage, like no, because unintentional work can become intentional, right? If something comes in and you decide, no, this is in alignment with where I need to go today, then that's, you can make it more intentional. But unintentional work's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to have to jump into that stuff. But more often than not, you should probably, most people, the majority of people, should be spending more of their time planning their work and doing the intentional work.
Right. So those are you want to have more of your time spent in those two realms. And they call it the something of the tyranny of the urgent, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you get that call, you get that email that you have to answer it. That's the unintentional work you're talking about.
Yep, exactly. And sometimes, and the thing is, sometimes you will need to take that call. I think I gave a real estate example where it's like, sure, if you are a real estate agent and you have a seller that is selling their house and the transaction is supposed to close tomorrow, and you see that seller's number show up on your phone, you're going to answer because you want to make sure nothing is going to get in the way of that closing from happening, right? Like you want to make sure that everything is okay. And so that's a scenario where, yeah, sure, you're going to spend a little bit of time on this work that you didn't expect, this work that you didn't plan, and that's okay. But are you spending all of your time in that mode or, the majority of your time in that mode? If that's the case, then it's time to step back and rethink things and reframe things.
Right. And I like what you said about, basically if you review it, it could be in line with your intention. And
yeah.
So although it was not expected or planned, it's definitely in line with your intention and worth the time and effort to be able to pursue that, that conversation or support them in any way you can.
Exactly.
So awesome. Well, I will step back and just allow any other questions. I do have a few more comments and questions, but I don't want to hog the line. So chime in if you have a question.
Well, hi, Elise. This is Gail from Virginia. And
hi, Gail.
I want to thank you so much for the lesson. I stay in a state of frustration pretty much, and I know what my goals are, but my vision is I guess that's what I have trouble seeing is my vision on how to get where I want to get. So that's something that I'm going to work on. So that's about it.
So can you share, I don't know if this is helpful, Gail, and I apologize for if I jumped on before you were done, but can you share just quickly the distinction between vision and goals? Because they do seem, I can see how they collapse each other, right?
Yes. Well, my goal is I know where I want to get to, but my vision is, how do I get there? And you have to see it in your mind how you're going to go about step by step to get there. I mean, we all have an end goal, I guess, and, you just have to figure out, you just have to carve out the time and carve out your process and how you're going to approach people and what you're going to say and what tools are you going to use? And I mean, you have to see all that. And once it's ingrained in your mind that you can see it and you can see yourself doing it, then I think that's the distinction.
Yeah, and I would maybe encourage you just to try this, is to flip-flop it. And so I actually think of vision as where you're trying to get to, right? Vision is where are you going to be 3 years from now, right?
Right.
And the goals are the actual things you need to accomplish to get there. Like, you know, so if the vision is about, oh, I'm going to be in a new house. Like, I would rather have you be really rich and detailed about your vision of where you're trying to end up. And like I was saying, kind of do like an ideal day exercise. So like, what would life look like 3 years from now? And just really set a timer for 10 minutes and write like crazy exactly what a day would look like from beginning to end in your ideal day, your ideal life 3 years from now. And then look at where you're at now. So once you get that really clear, look at where you're at now and say, okay, what's the gap? And closing the gap is where the goals come into play.
Okay.
And then not worry so much about exactly how you're going to get there, because that's never going to happen, right? Like the exact path is never going to happen. Like if only we could just see how it was going to happen and then we'd just do it. It's like I think it's more powerful to see where you're trying to go and then think about, okay, from where I'm at to where I'm trying to go, what's the very next thing I could try? Not the whole path, but what's the next thing I can try? I kind of call it the game of, do you guys ever play the game of hot and cold when you're little? Somebody would like hide something in
yes.
the room and yeah, you're like, you're getting hotter, you're getting colder. Well, you can't get feedback from the universe or from God or from the world around you unless you actually take a step, right?
Right.
So it's like, what's the next thing I could try to get clearer about my path to this vision and to accomplish this goal? Rather than knowing the entire path is what I would recommend.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm excited for you and your goals. Do you want to share any of it with us?
No.
Okay, that's okay. But just know I'm behind you, okay? I'm rooting you on. I'm
All
cheering
right.
you on for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That was great. Awesome. I appreciate that distinction for myself of vision and goals. And I like what you said about closing the gap. And, you know, that's where the goals come in, to be able to really make your vision a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
We have to have the vision. We have to have where we want to go, but then we also have to have the reality of where we're at, right?
Right.
And then, oh, okay, this is the gap, right? Oh, like this is what needs to get, these are the things that need to get done. I think an example I've given before is, I had a client who wanted to get a rental property by a certain time within the next 3 years, and she doesn't have one right now, right? So the current, the vision is that, the current reality is this. So, you know, what does she need to do to make that happen? Well, she needs more information first, right? Like there isn't, she can't make a full plan from start to finish on how this is going to happen, because who knows what the real estate market looks like in 3 years, but she could get some really good information right now. So a project for her or a goal might be to get pre-approved by a certain date, pre-approved for a purchase by a certain time, right? But within the next year. So
right.
that means that she needs to find a mortgage broker, right? And so that means that she needs to actually ask around. And so maybe that means the very next thing she's going to do is, call her good friend who just bought a house and ask who their mortgage broker was, right? So it's like that's, who knows what's going to happen after that part, right? We don't know all the exact steps for her after that part. We have a general idea, but not the exact steps.
Right.
But being able to bridge, to see where you want to go, see where you're at, and then say, okay, how do I bridge that gap?
Right. A vision for me that really has resonated with me, and I heard this years ago, there's different ways to say this, but you can only turn a ship around if it's moving.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
you can visualize it, you can will it all you want, but if it's not moving, it's not going to turn. You're not going to be able to turn it around. And I use that, that has always encouraged me. I have to be in action. I have to be moving forward in order to accomplish any kind of a shift.
Mhm. For sure.
So, awesome. So anybody else? Any other insights, ahas, questions? Well, I have another one. So, Elise, how do you distinguish defining like purposed a purpose statement versus a mission statement, because a lot of businesses and, you know, people have mission statements, but what is the distinction between a purpose statement and a mission statement? I hope that's a fair question given our topic.
Yeah, sure. So I think for me, a mission statement usually tends to have some sort of more specific purpose, right? It'll have a specific industry, a specific focus, and some sort of specific impact, right? Like to become number one. I can't remember what Nike's mission statement was for a while, but like one of them, I can't remember if it was Nike or Adidas, but one of them, their mission statement was simply like beat Adidas or beat Nike, right? Like that was it. Like, you know, it was just like that was their mission, was to just like be better than, right, their closest competitor. But it could also be, you know, something really specific, like help, you know, like help massage therapists earn. So I'm biased because my girlfriend's a massage therapist. So I think of those examples, right? But like, you know, help massage therapists earn a thriving wage, right? That could be a mission, right? Whereas a purpose is much bigger than that. A purpose is kind of your guiding compass, your North Star that helps you understand and is the umbrella under which everything you do, is the umbrella under which you operate doing everything that you do. So a purpose statement isn't just about your career. It's not just about your family. It's not just about the industry that you're in. It's about everything you do. So an example is my statement is to foster understanding and acceptance of self and others, so we can come together to make the world a better place. Sure, that's completely applicable in my coaching practice, but it's applicable in everything that I did in my life. It's applicable to my work when I was at Microsoft and how I operated with two clients in the car when I was in real estate, when I had, you know, a husband and wife in the car, is helping them understand themselves and appreciate the differences in each other so they could come together to find a house of their dreams, right? And so your purpose statement applies in all areas of your life, whereas a mission tends to be a little more focused to like an industry or an overall achievement. And in my opinion, that's how I look at them.
I love the distinction. That's great. So it's a purpose is broader, like you say. It's a
yeah.
broader picture or vision.
Mm-hmm.
So that, thank you. That's a great distinction.
You're welcome.
So anybody else, feel free to chime in. I don't want to hog time here, but I also wanted to just mention, so you talked about pausing to focus on what, you know, what matters most, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find my notes here on how you said it because I thought it was brilliant. But what comes to mind for me is the concept of contrast. So sometimes we don't know what we want. But
yeah.
first, we have a clearer sense. Oh, I know. It was in regards to clarity, I believe. So we have a clearer sense of what we don't want. And
mm-hmm.
so that's what I coach people on my team or, you know, when I'm supporting them is what don't you want? And not to dwell on it, not to attract it, but just to have that contrast to say, to me, that's a huge motivator for whatever I do.
Yeah.
Like, I
mm-hmm.
don't want a J-O-B. I don't want
mm-hmm.
a jump
yeah.
out of bed and you know, go to Seattle and type of a position. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like my freedom. I like being
mm-hmm.
able to be an entrepreneur. I like to be able to, you know, create my own list of to-dos, not what other people think I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that contrast motivates me more than sometimes I don't have a clear vision of exactly where I'm going to go or how I'm going to get there, but the contrast drives me personally.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think you might have heard me say that when I was talking about values, about like, when you don't know what your values are, ask yourself, what don't I want? Like, what?
Right, there you
what
go.
What really ticks me off? What really makes me crazy? You know, what am I really not okay with? And once you look at what those things are, you're usually bumping up against some sort of values violation. Even if you didn't know that was a value being violated, it's like that's when you really get ticked off, right? And so when you can say, like, what was so upsetting about that? And for me, it took a while to realize, like, empathy is just a core value of mine. And so when I when somebody can't put themselves in somebody else's shoes and it's just being really judgy or, just not understanding it, like it really sets me off. And it took me a long time to understand that that was a core value. But I had somebody that was living at my house for a while. I was helping them out. And man, I just saw example after example of him just not being very empathetic. And I finally was like, oh yeah, that's big for me. That's a core value, right? I had to have that really right in my face to understand the contrast, right? Like I was experiencing the contrast and that gave me clarity. And so that's actually an exercise that Michael Logier does in his, I can't remember what his book is called right now, but he calls the exercise Clarity Through Contrast. So when you're having a hard time getting clear about what you want or what you believe in, you just draw a line down a piece of paper on the left-hand side, write down all the stuff that makes you crazy about that scenario or that, maybe it's a new career. Like, what's all the stuff that makes you crazy about all the careers you've had in your past? On the left-hand side of the paper, on the right-hand side of the paper, you take each one of those things and turn them into clarity for what you do want. And suddenly you have this list of what you want in your life.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And it is. That contrast is so powerful. It's such a gift. And sometimes I have to remind myself, like, I am experiencing contrast right now, and that is
right.
A gift. You know, like, I don't
it
like
is.
It. This is not fun, but it is a gift for sure.
Right, because you know what you don't want. At least
yep.
You're clear on that much.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. That's so true. Awesome. Okay, I'll open the lines for a minute before I jump in again with my other question. Anybody else have any other insights or ahas? Questions for Elise? This is your chance. We have a rare opportunity here to get these, because they're deep questions, right, Elise?
Yeah.
Purpose and values, vision and goals, projects and actions, even just the distinction of the definitions, I think is, you know, eye-opening in terms of our businesses, because we get so caught up in them, we don't always have a chance to really look at it at that fundamental level and make sure our infrastructure is sound.
Yeah.
Well, I was really intrigued with the middle part of the worksheet that says one thing that changes everything. And so mm-hmm. you talk about, for those of you who don't have the form in front of you, when intention is low and then when intention is high. And so you
mm-hmm.
named different adjectives, you know. And at one part of your talk, you talked about, you really kind of linked the third piece. And I thought that was really compelling. So my notes, I don't think I caught the whole thing, but you said, you know, when tension is low, you tend to feel frustrated. And so when you're
mm-hmm.
frustrated, what you need, that's a sign that what you need to do is take a look at your visions and goals. Did I get
yeah.
that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And then you said when you're overwhelmed, what you want to do is, you know, shore up or take a look at your projects and actions.
Yep.
So what is there one for unsatisfied and unfulfilled? If you're feeling that, what should you be focusing on?
Purpose and values.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, because
okay.
that feeling unsatisfied and unfulfilled, that is like it's your something is off with your reason for being or how you're showing up, right? And or who you're surrounding yourself with. You might be on point with that, but you may not be communicating it to everybody else. So you may have surrounded yourself with the wrong people. You might be on point for your purpose, but that doesn't mean you communicated it well or set up systems for consistency around it. And then suddenly you just kind of have the wrong team of people around you, whether it's employees or clients, business partners, or even, you know, family members. So it's getting really clear about your purpose and communicating it. So that you can have the right people to help you move your purpose forward and have the impact
right.
you really want to have in the world. Because we all have an impact in the world. All of us do. We're all walking through puddles in life, right? There's just puddles everywhere. We're making ripples everywhere. And so it's a matter of being intentional about it. What kind of puddles, what kind of ripples do you actually want to create?
Right. And I loved what you said about when everything's important, nothing's important. Because
yeah.
it really is about prioritizing things, not only our projects and our actions, but also our intentions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you're saying, you were talking about the tyranny of the urgent, right? That can, you know, urgent and important are not the same thing, but sometimes when we are overwhelmed, all we're responding to is the urgent because it feels important. But when we can get the ground level of your value, of your actions and your projects under control and have you really clear on what you've committed to and what's expected of you, and you can start to renegotiate things and you can start to say, but how does this align with my goals for the year and the vision for where I want to be in 3 years? And how does all that align with the how I want to show up in the world, my values and my purpose, right? Why I'm here and the impact I want to have. So it's being able to, you know, not just prioritize based on what the next due date is, but prioritize based on who you want to be and the impact you want to have and where you want to go.
Right. And also kind of what I hear you saying behind the scenes here is just being sensitive to the different seasons in life and giving yourself permission to focus. You know, when you have projects, and I've been able to hear a talk that you did for eWomen a couple years ago, and you talked about, you know, there's projects and then something about tasks, right? So there's
projects and actions.
Projects and actions. And so, you know, a project is a number of things. It's not just like a task is one thing, like go make my bed. I'm going to go make my bed. Okay. Got it. You know, a project would be, oh, there's holes in the sheets, so I need to go buy another, you know, another sheet, and then I need to wash it. So that would be a project, right?
Correct.
So sometimes we think something is a task and then we feel overwhelmed, and what it really is a project, and it has a lot of components that we need to peel back on. And it's going to take, you know, more time, more money, more patience than you thought. And so I think going into situations, knowing that, I think really avoids a lot of overwhelm, just being aware of whether it's a project or a task.
Yeah, and it's thinking that we're not really always taught to do. Some people can come by it a little more naturally, but a lot of personality types aren't going to really lend themselves to thinking about things in terms of how long things are really going to take, what are all the steps involved. And so being able to have a way of a method for looking at that is really important, because we tend, even if we think, even when somebody is clear, like, okay, this actually is a project, and I ask them the next thing that needs to happen to get that project moving forward, right? So they know, they realize it's going to take multiple steps. Okay, I'm like, so what's the first step that you need to take to move this forward? They usually tell me the third step. They're usually still three steps out, you know? It's like, unless it's a super simple thing, they're usually still three steps out. And so that thing sits on their list forever, because that's not actually doable. The thing they put on their list isn't something they can actually do. It's yet another project within their bigger project, right? And so sometimes it's because they're missing information. So I have these little, you know, questions that I ask people to really get it focused and say, okay, so one, what's the next physical, visible thing you do? Like, if I were to walk into your office and saw you doing something to move this forward, what would that thing be? Because it actually makes them think of an action, not a project. And two, do you have everything you need to get that thing done? And if they say yes, then great, we've identified the next action. If they say no, the next action is getting that thing that they need, right? If you don't have everything you need to get the thing done, your next action isn't doing that thing, it's getting what you need to do that thing. Getting that phone number, you know, making that phone call to ask for the connection with somebody, you know, going in and finding the requirements for something, right? Like, if you don't have the information that you need to do the thing, then getting that information is your next step. But we just don't think that way. We think usually three steps ahead.
Wow. You make it so simple.
Well, it's triaging too, right, Elise?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and we do, sometimes we make our brains make things complicated. I know mine does. but, you know, when you're talking about steps, you're right. I mean, sometimes you have to get, you know, something done before you can, you have to do three things before you can get it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I think, what causes frustration. Sometimes we want to jump around. I'm very methodical. I'm very organized, but I can be sometimes I can just get tired and just be real random, like just because I need to mix things up a little bit. And I used to think, oh, man, I'm so flaky. But it's okay. I just give myself permission. It's okay. I need a break from the ABC. I need to jump to X, and then I'll come back to this. And, you know, I used to beat myself up about it, but I realized that's just my personality. I need to do that. So it's okay.
Yeah, it's totally okay. And the thing is because you're methodical, you have, you know, you probably have systems to hold the stuff that you decided needs to get done so that you can go off and be, quote, unquote, flaky and then come back to your system, right? You can come back and have that thing support you. And so that's, you know, it's what I call the bonus brain. Like it's having that place that holds everything that needs to be remembered, everything that you intend to do, everything that you know you need to do to move forward, what matters most. And know that sometimes you're going to stray from that, or sometimes you need to react to the phone call that's coming in. And then when you're ready to come back and be intentional again, you have your bonus brain to tap into to say, yep, this is what you said you wanted to do next. Are you going to do it? You know, it's like, it's the thing that holds everything that you could be doing should you choose to do it.
Wow.
Right. No, I agree. I love that bonus brain concept because, and I've never called it that, but I just, the systems allow you to have, you know, you have that peace of mind to know what the next step is. You don't have to, you know, lean on your brain power because it's just, it's the next thing. And so, so I love that. I think we have time for one more question and then we'll go ahead and put a bow on this conversation, but gosh, what a great conversation it's been. I just have enjoyed it a great deal and thank you so much. You're a wealth of information, Elise.
Oh, thank you. I love what I do. So,
and it's clear. It's clear that you are, you do, and you're great at it. So I saw. I'm just going to call out. Lisa Hawkinson jumped off the line, and then she jumped back on, and she was muted. So, Lisa, I just want to give you a chance. If you have any questions, I want to make sure you didn't have any technical difficulties in getting those questions answered. Okay, it looks like she muted herself. So, all right.
No, can you hear me, Cindy?
Yes.
Okay. No, this has been fabulous. I can see where the workshop is going to really fill in because I have to fill in a couple spots. So I think it's the vision and goals at the bottom that I need more work on, more clarity. So I don't have a specific question right now. I'm actually on my way home now, so I can't write more down. But this was very helpful. I really appreciate you, Elise.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. I'm glad you're on the call.
Oh, good. Well, I just wanted to make sure, I'm just paying attention to the board here and wanted to make sure that everybody who wanted to chime in could. And I realize some of you are in places where you can't talk, you have ambient noise and all that kind of stuff. And I totally respect and appreciate your muting yourself. But anyway, I do want to move on here. And again, thank you, Elise, for generously sharing with our community. And so just in closing, let's go ahead and have you share. Well, we've got some exciting news. Let's go with that first, okay?
Yeah, first.
So Uncover Your Purpose is the skill shop that's coming up on January 22nd. And at this point, it's going to be at the Pizza Coop and Ale House. And if we can get our numbers over 20, then we will move it to the Hampton Inn. So can use your support with that. But we're very excited to be able to have 2 hours to be able to really glean content information from you. But Lisa and I were talking, and we really want to be able to be sensitive to the needs of our community. And so, Elise, tell our listeners what we planned, the pivot that we've come up with.
Yeah, so we've pivoted away from the highest elevation of purpose and turn towards instead the projects and actions level. So that exactly what we were just talking about is the bonus brain. So the skill shop is going to be all about helping you, giving you all the tools that you need, all the information you need to create your own bonus brain that can hold everything that needs to be remembered so that your brain can be free to be present with your family, your friends, your clients, to be more creative in just all aspects of life and to be more strategic about what you're trying to create in your business. So what I was realizing and paying attention to during the luncheon and some of the feedback I was getting afterwards is that people just really want help at the ground level with really tangible skills that they can apply to get relief immediately, and that meant building their bonus brain. Whereas purpose is powerful, it's not necessarily the place to start when you're feeling overwhelmed, and there was definitely more of a sense of overwhelm from the community members. And so I was like, I said, you know, Cindy and I talked about it, and we decided let's give you guys what you need. And so I'd rather give you this than something that will be nice to have, you know, in the future. So we're going to tackle creating your bonus brain.
And as you can, you know, you can tell from this being on this call or listening to the replay, Elise is an incredible resource. So she will be reviewing purpose and values, vision and goal, projects and actions. But we just felt as we're doing a skill shop at the beginning of the year and people are wanting to get their year off, you know, to a good start and have the tools they need in their tool belt to be productive, we wanted to be able to meet that need. So that's the pivot. It's really, she's going to be doing, the focus is getting your stuff together. And it's she has a 6-week course. Is that right, Elise? Am
yeah,
I representing
so usually,
that correctly?
Yeah. Yeah, so the shorthand, the acronym for Get Your Stuff Together is GIST. So usually GIST is a 6-week program where, you know, we meet weekly and you learn all about how to create your bonus brain. And in between sessions, you're implementing and creating it and everything. And so that program will start in January on January 9th. For those of you who would, you know, want to get it all in one shot, we'll do that at the actual skill shop instead. So,
and you're doing it for an incredible value for us. So right now, the early bird rate of $97 is available. And because we've made this pivot in the topic, although it really is very much under the same umbrella, we're just focusing a little bit more on the tangible skill sets and tips to, you know, be able to implement with the new year. And so I'm extending the early bird discount or the luncheon special, I should say, until November 30th, so the end of November. So this is an opportunity for you to register yourself and to tell your friends about it and maybe colleagues or business associates so that you can all be on the same page and start implementing things. And since I've got Elise on the line, there's a big difference in the price point, right? For 2 hours, getting all the content at a higher level, of course, and all in one sitting. But you also have a GIST program that you're offering on January 9th. And if they wanted to do that, what would be the cost point on that?
That'd be $500.
So you're giving us an incredible deal. We're getting the same content. It's just over a 2-hour bite-sized module that we can take those things and then implement them into our business, you know, in the coming months.
So really, you guys are going to get everything that I would teach in GIST. You're just not getting the additional guidance of implementation that I provide my GIST group, just because we have more time together.
Right.
You guys will get everything they would get in terms of content and information. And just like today, my goal will be to get through that content as quickly as possible so that you guys can ask questions like crazy so that you can actually implement. So that's going to be the critical piece, is actually doing something with it. And these things will be implementable.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a perfect opportunity for us to be able to implement our mentor connectors, Elise. And so we did that with Debbie Page. We had, I think it was 7 weeks. I would probably make it 4 weeks, but we would activate our mentor connectors in Exceptional Connections and create accountability groups. I think that would really pair well with what you're offering.
Yeah, it's good to have, that's what I've loved about doing GIST as a group program. I do it one-on-one, and that's $1,800 to do that work one-on-one with me. So making the group program, one was to make it more affordable for people, right? To be able to impact more people. I wanted to just touch more lives. But two, right, it's created that ability for, to some extent, the accountability, but also just the sharing of ideas and knowing that you're not alone in this. And so that's been the really fun thing about the group program. And the same thing could come of that from the skill shop, of having people together to share ideas with each other based on what we're doing in creating a bonus brain. So I think that same thing, having the mentor concept happening too, we'll do that as well.
Awesome. Well, I love that. Yes, let's get plans going for that. I'll work on that. So in closing, can you tell us a little bit more about, you mentioned your GIST program that's starting on January 9th. You mentioned your one-on-one. Anything else you want to offer on how our listeners could work with you individually if they want to learn more?
Yeah, so if you want to learn more, you could definitely sign up for a complimentary strategy call. So I just do a 30-minute strategy session where we do kind of what we were talking about earlier of saying, where do you want to go, where are you at, and how are we going to get you there? So if you're interested in that, Cindy, I'll go ahead and send you a link where they can just schedule directly off my calendar to schedule that time with me. We'll spend a very powerful, intense half hour to figure that stuff out.
That'd be great. I'll go ahead and put that, or you're welcome to go to exceptional-connections on Facebook and
okay.
or exceptional-connections community on Facebook. And I have advertised this call, and you can be able to put that on there. So
okay, I'll comment in that call.
Yeah, we'll both share that because that's great information. I'm taking advantage of that myself next week, so
yes.
I'm looking forward
looking
to having
forward
that
to
call
it.
With you. Yes,
me
so,
too.
So yeah, so we'll be the pivot for the skill shop is she's going to be sharing the GIST program, get your stuff together. I think it's super timely, and you know, as you can tell, Elise has a wealth of information. So we are straight up at 1 o'clock here or 1:01. So I just want to wind up the call. Thank you all for being on the call, and Elise, again, thank you for your generosity. It's been just great to be able to work with you. For our networking luncheon and here on our bonus call, and I'm excited about our January opportunity as well.
I am too. Thanks so much for having me.
You're yes. welcome. Take care, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
happy
everyone.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.